So today, brethren, is the first day of God's seventh month. And it is interesting here to note that the Jewish community called this day not the Feast of Trumpets, but rather Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, which means head year. And so this is the beginning of the Jewish community civil year. So, but God does call this day the Feast of Trumpets. So let's go, if you wouldn't mind, to Leviticus 23 in verse 23, if you would. Leviticus 23:23. Let's read a little bit here about the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23:23. Then the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal." So this Feast of Trumpets is a very exciting event. And so on this Feast of Trumpets now, brethren, it's an exciting event, just like what I described to you here. It's the fourth feast of God's annual feast days. You know, I don't know if you thought about this, but it's right in the middle of the seven feast days. We've already celebrated the first three. This is the fourth. We're right in the middle. And three festivals remain. So it's right there where it should be. Very exciting event. Pivotal. It's a central event. And you know, Christ is pictured to return on this day. And notice I said pictured. We don't know when exactly when Christ comes. But our job is not to try to guess at Christ's return. Our job is to rather to watch world events, to pray to God fervently, and always be ready for his return. And this day, very pivotal day, this Feast of Trumpets, is central to our lives, and Christ is central to our lives. God the Father is central to our lives. Imagine not having God in our lives. What would we end up with? And so today, I would just like to take a couple of minutes here, a few minutes, to talk about this word trumpet. This trumpet will play a vital part on the day that Christ returns. Why did God use the trumpet, brethren? What are the uses of this trumpet in the Bible? And that's what I want to talk to you today about. And so I've titled this message, "The Uses of the Trumpets in the Bible." So why does God use the trumpet? You know why? Because it's a very loud instrument. It's an instrument that gets everybody's attention once it's played. It's loud, high-pitched. It pierces through the sound of other instruments in an orchestra, a band, or a symphony. It pierces through people talking and laughing. You don't need too many trumpeters to hear their part. And so in ancient times, they used to have this trumpet, and it was the ram's horn. It was a horn that actually came out from a ram. They cut it off, bore a hole in it, and they blew that. It's called the shofar, S-H-O-F-A-R. And that shofar got people's attention. And so I want to give you four important events in which this trumpet is used for. We'll look at one past event, and then we'll look at an event in the future. I thought that would be interesting to you. So the first event here is to call people together. The trumpet is used to call people together, to assemble them for a special occasion. Let's go to Exodus, if you would. Exodus in chapter 19 and then verse 16 here. This happened, of course, in Moses' day. And it says here, "Then it came to pass on the third day." You know, I was looking at this third day. The first day in God's calendar, week, is Sunday. The second day is Monday. The third day is Tuesday. And what's today? Tuesday. I just thought that was, you know, pretty interesting in doing this. But it says here, on the third day in the morning, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. This is Mount Sinai here. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Now, normally when you have someone play the trumpet, you don't really tremble with this trumpet sound. So this is really the trumpet of God that these people were about ready to hear. And so all the people were in the camp and they trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet, see, to gather people together with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. So that's the first use that the Bible uses for the trumpet. The second, well, let's take a look. That's a past event. Let's take a look at a future event. Isaiah 27, and then in verse 12. Let's look at a future event where a gathering of people is going to take place. Isaiah 27 in verse 12, "And it shall come to pass in that day," this is the day of the Lord, "that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt, and you," speaking to a time in the future, "will be," future tense, "will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown, and they," this is God's people now, "they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria," happened in the past, "and they will, who are outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem." Let's continue this thought in Matthew 24. This thought about the trumpet being used to gather. Aren't we gathered here today? Sure. Matthew 24 and in verse 30, if you would. "Then the sign of the Son of Man," Christ, "will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see." Notice here now, this is future tense. It's in the future. It's not now. "But they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will," say will, "send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they," the angels, "will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So you see how important this blowing of the trumpet is, especially on this day. All of God's feast days, really, for that matter, but especially today because of Christ's pictured return. The second use of the trumpet is to tell the people back then of a new moon. They blew this trumpet to tell them when the new moon, or the new month, if you will, the new month begins. And then from that new moon, you count towards all of God's feast day, the 10th, the 15th, the 21st, you count from that point. Let's go to Numbers 10. Numbers 10 here, and then in verse 10, to tell the people when this new moon happens, this new month. Numbers 10 and verse 10, "And in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast," God appoints these feasts, we don't, "and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial," a yearly reminder here, for you before your God, I am the Lord your God. Now, we don't do much here as far as the church on the new moons, but I believe, this is my own personal opinion, I believe that these new moons will be sometime in the future kept under Christ's reign when he returns to this earth for those 1,000 years. We'll be under the direction of Jesus the Christ here. Because remember, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The third reason that the trumpet is used in the Bible is to give an alarm. An alarm for war. That's very important, because on this day, well, we'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But go up to verse 9 of Numbers 10. This happened in Moses' day. And it says here, when you go to war, this is Numbers 10 and in verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Eternal your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. So God uses this trumpet to give an alarm for war. Something is going to happen. Now, what about in the future? Is there going to be a war sometime in the future when this trumpet of God is going to sound? Let's go to Revelation 11 and in verse 18. This is so fascinating. I'm sorry if I get excited up here, but this to me is just so important and fascinating that we're keeping the same day that the ancient Israelites kept. Revelation 11 and verse 18, and it's the day that God tells us to keep. It talks in here about that seventh trumpet and this alarm for war. The nations were angry, it says here, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints. Hopefully that's all of us, brethren, the prophets and saints. And those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. So when they destroy those and those that are in the earth, it's war. It's a war. There's no doubt about it. So the seventh angel here, that when this trumpet blast sounds, is going to be an alarm for a war sometime in the future. And it's going to affect that 10 European conglomeration that's over there right now in Europe. It's also going to include that 200 million man army. They're going to come and they're going to seize this, what they think is an alien out here, and they're going to gather forces together and they're going to fight the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as he comes down from heaven. And you know what? Christ wins that war with his saints, hands down. There's going to be an alarm. There's going to be a war, and this trumpet will sound. The fourth use of the trumpet is to announce the peace of the kingdom of God. So it announces war, it also announces peace. And this event also happens here at the seventh trumpet on the day of the Lord, during the day of the Lord. Let's go to verse 15 here. You're already, I think, in Revelation 11, verse 15, if you would, brethren. It says here, then the seventh angel, or the seventh trumpet, sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Notice it says the kingdoms of this world. There's going to be a war, and Christ is going to win that war, and the kingdoms will be under his control, under his authority. Christ defeats these nations and will probably bring that, will bring, it's not a probably, will bring true peace to this sick world. Sick, sick world. Will it happen all at one time, brethren? You know, all good things take time. And so this is not going to happen. It's not going to be a magic bullet. It's going to take a little bit of time for that peace to come here, which we so desperately need. 1 Thessalonians 4 here, the last scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, and now in verse 14, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 4, and in verse 14. Christ to the, to the Thessalonian church there. For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, don't we believe that, you and I? We sure do. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Those who are dead. And he's going to bring those with them. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from where? Heaven. With a shout of what? The voice of the archangel. And with what? The trumpet of God. The mighty trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. We don't have time to go there, but please write down 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Please read that today if you get a chance, if you have time. It's the resurrection chapter. It's very uplifting, very provides so much encouragement that we all need today, man. I tell you, we're all hurting. Every one of us. I'm probably first in line. So in summary, the Feast of Trumpet uses all four of these. You can probably think of many more. All these four uses of the trumpet. Number one, to gather the people, assemble. Number two, to tell them when this new moon happens. And by doing so, we can tell and count when the feasts happen. Number three, to warn the people. And number four, to finally usher peaceful time of the kingdom of God. All these things are pictured in the central feast of trumpets, this day that you and I are commemorating. This day represents the only hope, brethren, the only hope for a happy and everlasting life with God the Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ.